as to the question of this guy, was it McCann? Is that his name, the astrologer stockbroker?
W.D. Gann.
Oh, that's it, W.D. Gann. Tell his story.
Well, he was a, you know, poor farmer's son, and he just wanted to seek his fortune. And at the time, he was born during the Victorian era, 1878, and I think it was what Tony referred to earlier. It was like the frontier of the U.S. was still very much alive, and people went out to seek their fortunes in a very rough and ready way. And he started commodity trading when he was a pretty young man, and he made and lost fortunes. You know, I don't want you to think that the guy just walked into a pot of gold. But what he did was, as he was learning trading, he started to look into things like astrology, and he started to be able to predict through the stars. He was incredibly studious, and he sort of revived astrology in ways and applied it in a very new way that didn't exist, you know, in the ancient times toward stock trading. And he made a lot of money. And you might want to attribute that a little bit to beginner's luck, but a lot of guys on Wall Street still use his methods, and there are plenty of financial astrologies around who can help you with that if you like.
Why aren't all astrologers then billionaires?
Well, people ask me that question all the time.
I know. It's an obnoxious question, but I'm serious.
No, it's okay. But, I mean, the thing is that I think that it's not, you know, I can't tell you who's going to get the lottery or what the numbers are going to be, because there's still mystery involved with every moment. And all astrologers do is tell you when it's a good time to take a risk or when it's a good time not to take a risk. And over time, and this is what W.D. Gann said, he learned that price was not the most important thing, it was time. And that you have to give an arc to the time that you're playing in the market. And that's what all, you know, good financial advisors would tell you, right? They tell you not to invest for short-term gains. It's over time you'll see an improvement in your investment. So I don't know why we're not all billionaires, but I do know that most people who make their living through astrology are very lucky and very blessed. They do have, you know, they live well.
I was really interested in this piece in the book about the seven mathematicians and how their work on probabilities changed the way we think of luck. Is that a Tony or a Barry question?
It's a Tony thing.
Yeah.
I'm the rational guy.
Okay. Tell me about these mathematicians.
Oh, that's great. I mean, basically, we've got seven mathematicians, and what we've come up with is that, you know, math can't predict that you'll be lucky, but it's helpful in predicting how lucky you need to be. So, for example, we take Cardano, who came up with the concept of odds. But we go further, and we apply it to luck. And in terms of luck, we want people to ask, and faced with odds, not only what the odds are, but also to ask, how much luck do I need? So that's, you know, one example, Cardano.
Right.
Pascal, 17th century philosopher, mathematician. He invented the roulette wheel. He had a famous wager, Pascal's wager, and it basically states that it's better to believe in God, because if he exists, there's the possibility of salvation. If he doesn't, you don't lose anything. How do you apply that to luck? How do you apply Pascal's wager to luck? Well, we believe that believing in luck makes you luckier. So that's kind of applying Pascal's wager. I alluded earlier to the theory of the law of large numbers, which was developed by Jacob Bernoulli in the 17th century. The law of large numbers basically says the more you see of something, the closer the sample's average will be to the true average. In terms of luck, and I mentioned this before, you want the law of large numbers on your side. If you're in a casino and you're playing, you know the house has the advantage. The law of large numbers is in their favor. So if you win early, you should take profits. But if you're doing collecting, antiquing, bargain hunting, that type of pursuit, you can use the law of large numbers to your advantage. The more you see, the greater your chance of having a luckier find. Daniel Bernoulli had a concept of the law of diminishing returns, which basically states that the more we have of something, the less meaningful an increase is to it. Well, how do you apply that to luck? Well, in looking at it, we came up with that's really a subjective component to all the math, to the numbers. So the law of diminishing returns kind of helps you with whether to push your luck. So, for example, if you're collecting something and you start finding less of it, you should probably spend less time doing it because it's diminishing returns.
You know, I think that speaks, though, to a couple of things that I've always cleaved to, in that when I am beginning a venture of any sort, I make a point to leave as little to chance as possible. And by that, I think that it's sort of a jaded way of looking at luck. I don't think of myself as a lucky person. So I maximize my chance of success by trying to imagine various scenarios of failure and then creating alternatives to them.
Well, you know, I think, you know, as an attorney, that's part of the task of lawyers as well. You want to reduce the role of uncertainty to as small a role as possible.
Acceptable risk.
Yes, but that acceptable risk typically is defined as 5%. You know, we're 95% sure, 5% not sure.
Right.
Well, one of the motivations for doing the book is to kind of flip things around and say, you know what? Instead of just taking that 5% and tossing it away and saying it's luck, it's chance, I can't do anything about it, what we're doing in the book is saying, well, you know what? Let's look at that 5%. Let's open up the hood, take a look inside, and maybe we could reduce that a little bit further. Maybe we could take it down to 4%. Maybe we could take it down to 3%. Don't just dismiss, you know, something that it's due to luck. If you understand it, develop a relationship with it, maybe you can reduce the role of luck.